money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning. Good morning. Reb's ready to talk money. I'm ready to talk money. And we have a guest here who, if you're watching on YouTube, you will actually see the guest. But if you're listening, then you're in that time of suspense before we introduce our guest today. Welcome to the show. If you're a first time listener, sit down, grab a coffee, engage in the conversation. If you've been here many times before, you listened before, sit down, grab a coffee, and get ready to engage in the conversation. And today's show, talking about long-time supporters, that's the word I was looking for. Today's show is sponsored by NotMine.ca. Our relationship with Financial Discipleship Canada is longstanding because we love what they put on the website. We love the information that they have. And of course, here, what we want to do is implementation. And so there's a great synergy there with notmine.ca. And we thank you, the folks at Financial Discipleship Canada. All right, all done. Can we introduce the guest?
If you have wondered about how you make decisions around home purchases, mm-hmm. why are people moving from one place to the other? We just heard a story from a client this week that came to Dave and said, we're going to BC. We're done with the snow. We're moving. And what motivates a decision like that? What motivates you as listeners? And we talked in March about values, and we're going to touch on that again today. Because I felt like we hadn't finished the conversation. So in March, we had Amanda, and we have Amanda back today again.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back, Amanda.
And Amanda Van Oppen is a psychotherapist in the Ottawa area, and her contact information will be in the show notes. And you've been on the show a few times.
Yeah, you keep having me back.
We do keep
risky
having
business.
Yeah, because it's great. Last year, we talked about shame and resilience and windows of tolerance. Mm-hmm. That was like one of my favorites mm-hmm. also. So we're just glad to have you back, but we're going to hear a little bit more of how values affect financial decisions. But Amanda's going to tell us one of her own stories from her life this mm-hmm. morning. So that's pretty great around a home purchase. So, but you have the verse, and I pulled out the verse we used in the last values mm-hmm. show. So you can read it again.
Yeah, so that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's a really short verse at verse 5, but it's also a very poignant verse. It's in fact, when I reread it, I was like, ouch. Like, you know, I can hear Paul kind of going, and I'm thinking, all right, so I'm going to read it. And if you feel an ouch, I think that's the appropriate response. So, okay, so that's good. It says, again, 2 Corinthians 13, and I'm reading from the NIV, and it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test.
Ooh, that is the ouch.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a to that, right?
So, we felt that in March too, so I just thought I'd bring it up again.
Yeah. It's always good to revisit the test, right? Yeah. So, but I think it is, again, one of the things just talking about this idea of revisiting, this is not just a one-time exhortation from Paul. It's like, okay, examine yourself once. Mm-hmm. If you pass, then move on. No, I think Paul is kind of saying, listen, in this world, and we're going to talk about values today, I think as we grow, as we mature, there is a coming back to this verse and saying, okay, yeah, let's do the test again. Let's examine ourselves again. I'm thinking of another verse in Proverbs that really speaks to a wise man does look into his heart and test to see what is true and right. And so again, you know, it's not Paul's only verse, but I think we can pull something from that.
And it's what jumps out to me is that word examine. And I'm not sure how many of us are the kind of people that examine ourselves. Yeah. And I maybe just before, because this question is popping up in my mind now, Amanda, why do people come to you for counseling? Like what
a broad and question.
I know. But I mean, I was thinking about the word examine. I feel like unless there's something that comes up, we're not going for help anywhere. We're not examining ourselves unless something's at work. So what is that?
Like, I think so often we're kind of reactive in our examination, right? Like something happens, something bad happens, and it's not a bad thing that we're reactive, but very rarely does it feel like and kind of this verse kind of says to it of kind of this proactive examination like, I want to proactively examine myself and say, like, what is in my heart? What is values for me? And actually explore that in advance prior to the crisis or prior to the thing that feels difficult. And oftentimes I think mental health in general or counseling, right? We say like, things don't have to be terrible to come, right? Yeah. In fact, sometimes
probably better that they don't.
Sometimes when you're doing well, sometimes that's when you're actually equipped, when you have the resources to actually come and examine yourself and learn, so that when things are hard, those things you kind of already know about yourself.
And we see the same thing in finances, right? You know, people come to us and they're in crisis. Yeah. And often we're like, boy, I wish you had come a year ago. Mm-hmm. And often it's, I should have called you a year ago. I thought about calling you a year ago. I never called you, but I am here now. And we're happy to receive that. But there is a triage. There's now we have more that we have to unpack and unravel. And as you said, sometimes when you're a little healthier, you don't have to unravel as much to get to a place where you can.
I think that's why I'm bringing it up, because I want to encourage us all that, you know, whatever place you're in, you can examine yourself. But as you say, I just know from my own, the last 18 months I've had, you know, I need to be well rested to examine myself.
It takes energy.
It does take energy. Yes. And we're not entering any of this lightly. Any of these discussions we have about money or the heart issues around money, sometimes it's easier just to bury our head in the sand. We just don't want to deal with it. Oh, Rev and Dave are talking about that again, or you know, or my wife's at me to do this or to go to counseling, or you know, I mean, God calls us to examine, and we're imperfect people, and there is a lot of freedom that comes through the examination. You know, about getting honest. So, I mean, I think that's why we invite you back to talk about some of the, like, the shame and the resilience and the windows of tolerance and now values. So because we're going to be people who are listening today who are like, okay, I'm going to get ready to do some examining. Can we just recap what values are, how they differ from goals?
Totally. Yeah. So I think like when I re-listened to it, we kind of, in very brief summary, kind of said like, a goal has kind of this concrete beginning and end. We say, and I'm going to use, because we're talking about houses today. So I'll just use the goal of like, I want to buy a house. That's, you know, it has this concrete, once I own the house, the goal is complete. It often feels like a check mark,
right?
Values are much more abstract, so harder to nail down of what they actually are. But they're kind of guiding principles. We said they're kind of the compass of our life, right? Yes. They say what direction, what gives us meaning and purpose. And they often feel like they actually kind of bridge a long-term, if it's a season of life or if it's through our entire life. Yeah. And they often connect to something that's deeper than kind of an external thing that we get or own. So examples are maybe freedom, maybe feeling of growth, maybe creativity, maybe it's safety, stabilization, family. Like those things have kind of an abstract feeling to them, which is harder to examine, but can be really helpful because they can carry with us, especially in the ups and downs of life, right? We say, do I own a house or not? I don't know, right? The ups and downs of that. But maybe I have a value of family, so I still connect with my family. I still spend time with my family. And that doesn't have to be defined by the house, right?
Yeah. And it is, like what you said, a bit abstract. But I loved your example from the March show where you said, imagine yourself going on a road trip.
Yeah.
What do you need on that road trip?
Yes.
And it was just, you just fill in the blanks. Do you need a GPS? Are you good without a map? Do you kind of like, oh, let's just go on an adventure. Mm-hmm. And I recall that you did that with your siblings many years ago.
Yeah. I think my values have changed since then. Yeah. If I revisit that, I'm like, would I stuff myself in a small sedan? And I have three brothers, so there's four of us going to California.
Yes. And you brought a tent, maybe?
Yes. I think our budget for the entire trip was $200 each.
Right, right.
Yeah. We ate peanut butter wraps and rice the entire time.
For 3 weeks? Was it 3 weeks?
Yes.
So I absolutely, looking from the outside, your values have changed.
Have absolutely changed. Would
matured,
I do it?
No. Actually matured.
Okay, values that mature. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Which also says there are seasons for different things. Yeah. I mean, I think there are values that do carry us through life. We can note when we're irritated by something, or we were talking about my desire, like I love honesty. Like, let's be honest. Just tell me the truth about that. But and that hasn't changed all of these years.
Yes.
But other values, how those values maybe play out for you. I know this about you. You have a high family value to be with. To be with your family and siblings. Mm-hmm. And that certainly was carried out in your 3 week trip, crammed in a little car. Anyway, lots of good memories there. But
So can I just jump in there because I had this thought? So often values then might inform our goals, you know?
Exactly.
Again. Okay.
Yes. And I actually think, this is just my opinion, so you guys can tell more. But I actually think when we know our values, we actually have a clearer idea of our goals and the roadmap towards them, right? Oh, like it really gives us a lot more information about why that goal feels important to us. And I think it actually, as abstract as values are, I think they make goals actually much more concrete, right? Mm-hmm. Why do I want to own a house? Or why do I want to rent for the rest of my life? Why do I want to travel? Why do I want to have a child? Like these kind of goals. Mm-hmm. I think when the values kick in, we say, oh, it's because of this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think that's really important when we relate that to money as well, right? Like, again, money streams through all of these ideas that when we're making a money decision, which is one of the steps around achieving a goal. So, you know, it's kind of all intermingled there. But to say, you know, if I have a value where I want to avoid debt, well, that's going to inform my money decision. It's also going to inform my goal decision. I have to delay my goal, save up some money first so that we can go do that thing, whatever that is. But that's a bit of a value driven.
Yep.
Foundation.
I think that's super important. I'm just thinking about, because we've had a lot of conversation lately about debt. Is it the burden of it, the necessity of it versus the is it really necessary? And you talk to different people and based on their values, really we're getting, that's what's clicking for me today, based on our values. And I would say my value around stability and safety is means I don't want to get into as much debt. I don't want to leverage. I don't want to do things that look a little riskier than maybe what David would do. But I mean,
here's an example. Let's say I value family, like we've established with you, Amanda, and you see a family in need financially. Mm-hmm. You have access to a line of credit, not the cash, but a line of credit. And so you're going, well, my value is to avoid debt. That's now I have a value that's really conflicting inside.
Yes.
I see this family member in need. I want to help them. I have the ability to help them, mm-hmm. but it also conflicts with this other mm-hmm. value where oh. I don't want to go into mm-hmm. debt. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, how do I help? And so yes. you can see how that all of a sudden begins to, yep. to go.
Especially when one,
if it's a spouse, couple.
It's a couple.
Exactly, right? So, and you have a value of honoring each other. It's your brother
and yes. he's always in trouble, right? It's exactly. not my brother. Oh, you know.
Yes. So yes. Oh, yeah. And then the conflict can come.
Yes.
So tell us your story because you okay. are married to a lovely man, Paul. Mm-hmm. And yes. and you have a house, but mm-hmm. you sold the house and you're moving. Like, tell us the story about what's behind the move.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. And tell me when I need to be more brief.
Okay.
I'll get tangential and then we won't have time. But the first thing I'll just acknowledge is what an honor it is to own a house. Mm-hmm. And I know not everyone gets that honor, right. Especially today. I think, right? Yeah. I know many of my friends who would like to own a house and don't. Yeah. So I just acknowledge this entire conversation can feel frustrating for some people, right?
Yeah.
Because they're just trying to get into the housing market yeah. and we're deciding, oh, well, what house do we want,
right?
Yeah. So we have a lot of privilege and a lot of, okay. right? We have yeah. a lot of choices that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were able to buy a house a whole bunch of years ago, just before COVID, which is probably one of the greatest blessings we ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And we moved in there and have lived there for the last kind of 5 years. And kind of the entire time that we've lived there, we've kind of known like the house doesn't quite match. And I think that's probably where the journey kind of has started of these conversations of like, why doesn't it feel like it quite matches?
Right.
Matches what you want or you yes. as a couple? Yeah.
Kind of us. And I think for a long time it was kind of like, why? Like, why does it not quite feel like it matches? Is it us? Is it our future? Is it what we want? And so I think part of the exploration was, why does this house not match? And if it doesn't, then
what are we doing?
What do we want?
Yeah.
yeah. What are we going to do about it? What happened was we ended up going to see this house very randomly kind of, and it had a whole bunch of property and we started walking around it and we immediately felt kind of this very settled, peaceful feeling. Mm. And we were like, oh, I think this is why the other house doesn't match. It's kind of a small house, small backyard, on a busy road. And we're like, oh, I think we want space. I think we want somewhere.
And I want to segue. Yeah. One of the reasons is because of your love of horses and yeah. your training.
Yep.
Yeah. In what, how have you been trained? Can you just explain that part?
Yeah, quickly? For sure. So yeah, I grew up on a farm. Probably that's a good backstory, but grew up on a farm, have animals, have loved animals for kind of my entire life, probably. And now like as a mental health person, I have kind of integrated some of that in and have trained to kind of use horses and animals to assist with therapy. And so that's always been kind of a dream. And so when we're talking about goals,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. A yeah. goal has always been, I've always wanted to own a farm and I've always wanted to be able to do kind of equine therapy
yes.
on the farm. And so there's a goal, right?
Yeah.
And it's been something that my husband Paul has known about and we've talked about as a goal. But when push comes to shove, right? And where we kind of ended up is you have to examine the goal and see what's underneath it. And I think yeah. that's where the conversation of values happened.
Yeah.
Because it's a big ask, right?
Yeah.
You know, context, my husband's from a big city. He never dreamed of owning property. it's not his dream, right?
No.
He's, you know, he, when we first talked, when we were dating, his dream was to have a penthouse, you know, in a big city. So far away dreams.
Can't put a horse in a penthouse, that's for sure.
Not a live one. No. Maybe a pony. So I think in the exploration of the goals, he said, like, you know, why do you want this goal, Amanda? Like, is it an abstract goal of just, you just want to own a farm? Well, that's a lot of sacrifice to just own something.
Yep.
Right? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. It's separating from people. It's being further away from community, further away from work. It's a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Life is easier if we move into the city or have a suburb home or stay at our current home. Right.
Yeah.
So then we started to examine values. And I think that's when the conversation really shifted. And I think that's what I would encourage people to do when they're trying to make these decisions.
Right.
Is don't just talk about the goal, talk about the values underneath it. And so when we started talking, that's when we actually started to overlap.
Right.
And find our common ground, wow. Right? So I said, you know, a huge value that I have is I want my home to feel like a place to rest and not rest physically, rest mentally. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that means being away from people. I work with people all day, love them. But when I come home, I want it to feel like I'm not with mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
I want to feel like I have tons of space where my mind can do something else that's completely different from my work. Mm-hmm. And Paul found actually that overlapped with him a lot. He works with people all day. He works with computers all day. He said, I want to be outside. I want to be able to like actually just feel that feeling of rest and mm-hmm. peace that we get from that.
So I'm going to throw another word in there that yeah. the Lord gave us when we moved to our property mm-hmm. before More Than Enough ever was a dream of ours, or we didn't know it was even a dream, was sanctuary.
Yeah.
He was giving us a space to yep. plant roots.
Exactly.
And then it's become sanctuary, not just for us, but others and for animals.
Yes.
Speaking of that and wildlife, but
yes.
Keep going with your story. So then how did you, was that the only overlap or were there others?
I think there's a lot of others actually. We identified like we wanted an area of growth, not just animal growth and plants and stuff, but an area that we felt we could invest in that we both actually really like that feeling of like when I put hard work into something, yeah. I can watch something grow. And we realized buying a new build suburb house, like maybe we wouldn't get that. We wouldn't yeah. feel that feeling. We like the feeling of being able to learn and mm-hmm. be creative. Right. And so that's okay. Maybe we can build projects. Maybe we can do something with the land. Yeah. Whereas maybe we felt more limited in the city. The other thing we really liked and had like kind of a really beautiful crossover is the feeling of we really like to share and share our space and community. And so we said, oh, like having space actually means like we can have people over. We can give people an opportunity to experience something that maybe they would never get to, right?
Right.
Being able to offer a person a plot of the garden so that they can have their own little section of the garden, giving people a place to dirt bike or, you know, a place to meet horses for the first time because they yeah. never got to. That was actually a huge overlap for us that we didn't realize we had before and felt, oh, that would be more limited. We wouldn't be able to have as many people over, as many kind of offer new experiences for people. So it was really interesting, right? Like at first it felt like our goals were really far away from each other. But when you have those conversations, you learn, the values.
And for Paul too, to understand, oh yeah, I'm a city person, but these things
yeah.
still matter. These things matter. And
yep.
Was there conflict or
we never fight.
Okay. Was there conflict?
I'm a therapist, of course. My relationship is perfect. Remember? Absolutely, there was conflict. I don't think you giant financial decision and be perfectly aligned. Yeah, of course there's conflict. And it's a big, you know, one thing that we really valued was we wanted a place that felt stable and could be for the long term. We said, we want to live in a place that feels like we can put roots down. But that made the decision harder. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because then it said, okay, this isn't a house for 3 years.
The next purchase this next move is going to be one where we're planting roots.
Yeah.
We're digging in. And because the reason we're talking about it is because you are moving.
Yes. Like we did, right? Like we ended up finding a place. I think it's a perfect fit for kind of location. It allows us to be still close to our community, which is a value for us. It's not giant. We realized we didn't want like a 300 acre farm that we're going to have to spend hours on. It's kind of small. It's manageable.
How many acres do you have?
It's five.
Five acres. And you have to put some work into the house.
We do.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm like, at my stage, I'm like, I don't want to buy a fixer upper. Yeah. Right. But you're at a different level. You're at a mm-hmm. different place. So that the looking at the property, you were looking at your values because you were saying, okay, the house mm-hmm. may not be what we want it to be right now, but we're willing to do that creative part, put the roots in.
I was just going to say, and I think, you know, the values that you've just described, you know, a lot of those probably aren't going to change, but how they manifest 20 years from now
may totally actually change. Look
different, right?
Yes.
You know, and that's what we've found, right?
Yes.
Like we're a little bit ahead of you in age. And so, you know, we look at our, we're used to talking about the house, we look at our move in and it really did align up with a lot of the values. And in fact, we can look back and go, oh my goodness, there were some values there that we actually didn't have these conversations on the way.
By God's grace, we got to a place that we shared values in, but we did not talk like you guys are talking.
But some of the values are still really key.
Yeah.
But we're also going, I'm not so sure that this house now actually fits those.
Yeah.
Because again, same values, but the expression of that is going to be different. And so again, as we're revisiting that and back to our verse in from Paul, you know, that examination saying, hey, these conversations, and I love that we're talking about not the surface conversation, not the goals conversation. I want to do this, but going, why do I want? What's the motivation here? Like, is this moving us, in a sense, closer to align with things that are important in our life right now? And then how does that play out with what we spend money on?
And it's so important because now houses are expensive.
They are. It's a huge, right? It's a huge choice.
And this is a super valuable, I think, thing to share with people because these conversations have to be had. I can't say we had that when we moved.
We certainly didn't.
No, although we didn't.
We had that same sense as we followed Christ and as Christ really spoke to our hearts, we bought our house without even going in it. We were that confident in our relationship with Christ that we went, this is the house. In fact, God had kind of shown us a long story of our house.
We'll have another episode where you get to share your house story.
We didn't talk about values.
And I don't know that I would, you know, again, from a I wouldn't. We stumbled forward in the grace of God, and He was absolutely so gracious to that we ended up actually at the place we are. And so that was a stumbling forward in His grace. And we look back and say, okay.
And I guess there's that piece to it, right? As you follow Christ, if you don't even understand how to discuss the value part, I mean, He is gracious to us and lead us forward. But you know, I think that's an important part, even to include Christ in the discussion as you're discovering your values, as you and Paul are moving forward now, like to keep including Him in the journey, because I know following Christ is a value for you guys.
Yeah. And it is a bit of a leap of faith, right? To make big decisions. So you can think it aligns with all your values, but then there is a moment where you have to say like, and now we have to kind of jump and hope, right? Yeah. And I think that's where
that's the walk of faith.
That's the bridge of faith that helps us in that moment when we make that leap.
Yes, that gives you the confidence. But
why don't you pray, Rev?
Okay. That was a quick show. Anyway, Lord, thank you so much that we have these tools of examination that you call us to, even from the scriptures about our walk with you. But then we extend it into buying houses, having children, having pets. You know, what are the values underneath those things? We thank you for the privilege that Amanda and Paul have had, that we have had to buy homes. Lord, we give you thanks for that privilege in our country and our jobs that provide these things. Lord, we look to you and I ask that you would open understanding for the listeners to how to walk these, their own values out and making money decisions like house purchases and all of the things that we face every single day. We just thank you for this conversation today. Amen.
Thank you, Amanda, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you for joining us and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.